Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come sit at your feet, even through your word. We pray that, Father, even as your word is coming forth, may your word come forth mightily. May we be transformed, may we be convicted, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. We bless God. I'm so grateful to the Lord for XICF. I'm so grateful to the Lord for you. I'm so grateful to the Lord for the families. I'm so grateful to the Lord for the students, the workers, the individuals. Over the year 2025, we have seen so many amazing things. I in particular, have heard so many amazing testimonies. Many testimonies. In the year 2025, we're running with the theme, our year of great hope. We're running with the theme, our year of great hope. And to effect our year of answered prayers. Answered prayers. And one thing we saw was the Lord was answering so many prayers. I had seen couples that were trusting the Lord for a baby, take seed, give birth. I had seen people that were trusting for healing for their parents, text me, said, my mom has started walking. I've seen people that were trusting the Lord to further their studies in the States. Tell me, big brother, I just got a scholarship to go and read my PhD in the States. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for his goodness in the church. I'm so grateful to the Lord. One thing that I can say is that the Lord is indeed with us. And wherever we go, his goodness is running after us. In that same vein, as the elders came together to pray, as the elders sat down together to seek the face of the Lord for the theme for this year, the Lord laid on our heart our year of the Holy Spirit. Our year of the Holy Spirit. And focusing on the Holy Spirit, this year we'll be highlighting walking in holiness and bearing fruit that remain. Walking in holiness and bearing fruit that remain. Our key verse is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In that light, we see clearly that walking in the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, is not just something we do in our feel-good factors. The idea of walking in the Spirit is actually an obligation to life. Because if we do not walk in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, it means we are walking according to the flesh. And the Bible is so clear that when we walk by the flesh, death will reign in our bodies. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, verse 17, again highlights, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The Bible is so clear that in the last days, sin will abound. In the last days, the heart of many will grow cold. In the last days, wickedness will abound. In the last days, people will desire to walk according to their flesh. But we as believers, we as Christians, we are encouraged to walk by the Spirit. And it goes on to say, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The flesh desires to lead you away from the things of God. The flesh desires to withhold you from living a life that glorifies God. The only way we can glorify the Lord is by walking by the Spirit. So I captioned everything in summary. The Holy Spirit is responsible for our renewal and regeneration. And as we are transformed by the Spirit of God and filled with His fruits and gifts. So it's very, very important that in the place of salvation, we are renewed. We are rejuvenated. And we are transformed. You come to the Lord coming wholeheartedly, coming as you are. You come, you receive the engrafted word of God, which sparks faith and salvation in your heart. And at that very moment, the old passes away and the new comes. Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross begins to birth life in you. And this very rejuvenation begins a journey of transformation, whereby the Spirit, you are transformed into the full character of Christ. Where you are transformed by the gift and the fruit of the Spirit into that very image heaven has of you. Reading further, in this new season, it's our desire to not only know the Holy Spirit, but also show evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives through holiness and bearing fruit that remain. So by walking in the Spirit, we are going to show forth two main things: our walk in holiness, and secondly, bearing of godly fruit that remain. So we have three main objectives. We have three main objectives when it comes to this theme for this year. The first objective is this: to walk in holiness and pursue purity. To walk in holiness and pursue purity. That this year we are going to walk in holiness. We are going to desire to be committed wholeheartedly to the Lord. We are going to walk away from profanity. And our lives are going to seek to glorify the Lord. And we are going to pursue purity. In Matthew chapter 5, the Bible is so clear. It says, without purity, you cannot see God. The second point is to bear godly fruit and show the character of Christ. Our desire this season is that people will see us and see Jesus. The main ministry of the Holy Ghost is our salvation. The second ministry of the Holy Ghost is our transformation. The working of the Holy Ghost is so that we will look more and more like Christ. Amen. And the third objective for this season is to prepare the church for the return of the bridegroom. Turn to someone, tell the person, Jesus is coming. Turn to someone, tell the person, the Messiah returns. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of the King? Are you ready for the return of the King? Are you ready for the return of the Great I Am? So in the light of this, we are going to break down for today's sermon, one, the importance of holiness, and two, what it means to walk in holiness, and three, the place of bearing fruit that remain, what that looks like. And then we'll touch on the major hindrance to walking in holiness and bearing fruit that remain. So holiness. In Hebrew, holiness is called what? Kodesh. Exactly. And in Greek, it's called? Good. Hagios. The idea of holiness is the separation from profanity and dedication to God. So when we talk about holiness, it is separation. It is consecration. When we talk about holiness, it is being set apart. When we say holiness, it means you are giving to the Lord. Holiness is not about stopping evil. The byproduct of holiness is stopping evil. But holiness is the engagement of the Holy God. Anointing, literally, when you read the Greek text, means a rubbing off. It means a transformation that is birthed by association. The more you walk with the Holy God, the more holiness is birthed in you. The more you walk with the Holy God, the more holiness is birthed in you. And as you walk with Him and holiness is birthed in you, you begin to walk away from all forms of evil. Because what He likes becomes what you like, and what He hates becomes what you hate. Going on, I wrote, from the nature of God, meaning holiness is the very nature of God. God's holiness is absolute, perfect, and intrinsic. The life of Jesus lived a holy life. The Bible records He lived a life without sin, pleasing the Lord Jesus in every way. And the expectation of heaven, of the church. Heaven has an expectation of you. Heaven has an expectation of you to be holy. Heaven has an expectation of you to walk in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this expectation is not bound to what people will say. This expectation is not bound to how people will perceive you or to how people see you. This expectation is bound to how heaven sees you. So it doesn't matter whether people are looking or people are not looking. Our desire is to walk in holiness. I wrote on, holiness is practical and essential for the believer. Many people say, it's not practical to be holy. It's not practical to live a life that glorifies the Lord. It's not practical to say, I will not fornicate. It's not practical to say, I will not watch pornography. It's not practical to say, I will not masturbate. Many people say all these things to make it look like it is normal. And that is where I want to begin. The first plan of the enemy to hold you in bondage is to make you think it is okay. The first plan of the enemy to hold you in bondage of addiction is to make you think it is okay. Oh, you are not harming anybody. So even if you watch pornography, it's okay. You are not harming anybody. Oh, your husband will never find out. So even when I go and cheat, my husband will never find out. The very moment you accept that it's okay, you have begun your journey of destruction. It is essential for the believer. The Bible speaks of the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. The difference between the two was the preservative, the oil. Holiness preserves you. Holiness keeps you. Walking in holiness will do you more good than to do the Lord our God. It's essential for you to walk in holiness so that your life will be preserved and your life will glorify God. Leviticus chapter 19, 1 to 2, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, You shall be, for I, the Lord your God, I am. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So the Lord is reminding Moses to speak to the people why they ought to be holy. Because the Lord whom we claim to serve, He is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 to 16. "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." What is conduct? Conduct speaks of mindset, state of the heart, to behavior. The conduct of a person speaks of how the person thinks, what consumes the heart of the person, and the behavior of the person. So in all your conduct, the Bible is telling you, walk away from profanity. Walk away from anything that does not glorify God. Walk away from sin. Say no to ungodliness. Say no to jealousy. Say no to hatred. Say no to unforgiveness. Say no to stealing. Say no to adultery. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." In this season, we are trusting the Lord by grace, not by our strength. Again, we are trusting the Lord by grace, not by our strength, to walk in holiness. Moving on to the place of bearing fruit that remain. John chapter 15, verse 16. "You did not choose me." You did not choose God. "But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Your salvation was not orchestrated by your own purpose. Your salvation was orchestrated by the divine grace of God. God was intentional about your salvation. And He chose you so that you would be light in your family. He chose you so that you would be light in your nation. He chose you so that you would be light in your classroom. He didn't choose you so that you would go and gather wealth to yourself. He didn't choose you so that you would go and make a name for yourself. He chose you so that you would make a name of Him. Matthew chapter 5. "Let your light so shine that when men see you, they would give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The idea is to live a life that when men see you, they glorify God for you. "And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." In other versions, it says, "so that your fruit would remain." It means there are certain fruits that do not abide. Everybody's life is bearing a kind of fruit. There are fruits that will lead you straight to hell. The fruit of sexual immorality, the fruit of lying, the fruit of jealousy, the fruit of witchcraft. They will lead you straight to hell. There is fruit that will lead you to a place of gnashing of teeth. Because remember in Corinthians, it says, all your works will be passed through fire. And although you may be saved, there will be nothing to show for. So as you are saved, if all you are doing is chasing money, a time will come, your money won't speak for you. If all you are doing is chasing fame, personal glory, a time will come that will not speak for you. So many people are chasing things that are not necessarily evil, but they carry no heavenly value. What we are called to do is to run after things that carry heavenly value. Is your action carrying heavenly value? Don't run after things that will perish. That is why I'm always shocked when I see people who lie and do bad things just to gather earthly substance. People who are corrupt. And the source of all this is greed. Turn to someone, tell the person, don't be greedy. Shake someone by the shoulder, tell the person, don't be greedy. Learn, tell the person, learn to be content. Because the very moment we become greedy, we begin to lose our soul. And what did Jesus say? That what does a man stand to gain if he gains all the things in this world, but yet he loses his what? His soul. So he said that, and that your fruits should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. The idea that ask in my name does not mean in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a title. The name of Jesus is a presence. The title, Philippians chapter 2, he was given a name that is above every name, that at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow. The name of the Lord is a presence. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and they are safe. The name of the Lord is the very character of the Lord. So the sons of Sceva went and said, in the name of Jesus, go out. And the demon responded to the sons of Sceva, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Because in heaven, your character speaks more than your name. In essence, what character are you living? Because that in place binds your heart. So James says, let no man who is double-minded think you receive anything from the Lord. Because the very moment you begin to walk in sin, your mind becomes distorted. So it's not Jesus Christ who turns away from you. It is your heart that is hardened away from Jesus. And I wrote this paragraph for better understanding. As we walk with the Holy Spirit, one key thing that will happen is the growing reflection of the character of Jesus for the glorification of God and the advancement of his kingdom on earth. A good relationship with God makes us more eternity minded, so we can bear lasting fruit and not ones that will perish along with the earth. So how do we abide? How do we ensure we bear lasting fruit? First, we must remain connected to God. Remain connected to God in prayer, Bible study, fellowship, the word. This year, decide to remain connected. Decide, I'm going to join my Bible study group. Decide, I'm going to come to church regularly. Decide, I'm going to remain connected. I'm going to have my quiet time every morning. Decide. The second point, we must welcome spiritual discipline, trials, and challenges. Remember, in house boundary, the gardener will prune the tree so that it will bear much fruit. Pruning is not a nice process. Pruning is the process of stripping the dead part away so that you may flourish. And in this season, we must welcome pruning. We must welcome correction. We must welcome discipline. In James, he says, know this, that the trials and tribulations, they are working patience in you. As you go through the fire, remember, the fire is refining you. The third point, we must walk with like-minded. Choose those you walk with carefully. If all your friends do is lead you to drink, stop walking with such friends. If all your friends do is talk to you about womanizing, stop walking with such friends. In this year, one of the greatest powers you would have is your ability to say no. Yo, what's up? You know, today is Friday. We want to chill, man. What should be your response? Hey, darling, I miss you. I want to come over and spend the night. Babes, you know, I'm your girlfriend, but I want to come to your house and maybe spend the night. And you know you are not married. And you know that if she comes, something will happen. What should be your response? No. You are married and you are having ungodly chats with a girl. You are married and your WeChat, you are having ungodly conversations. You are married and you are asking someone, "Is good night, what dress are you wearing?" Does that matter to you? What dress she's sleeping with, does it matter to you? Send me a picture of how you look like. Does it matter to you? You are a lady, you are married, but yet you have emotional relationships. Someone, learn to say no. Learn to say no. Learn to say no. Enough is enough. No, I will not do this. No. And the Lord will help you. And again, remember what I said. It's not about how many people see you or how many people are watching. Sometimes when you look left, when you look right, when you look forward, you look backwards, and nobody is there. Don't forget to look up, because God is still watching. And also, don't forget to look down, because hell is still burning. You'll be saying yes. Amen. Walk with like-minded people. Ask the Lord to bless you with good friends. Last 2 days, around 12 midnight, I finished praying. I was about to sleep. I received a phone call from a pastor friend in Canada. He called me. I picked up the phone. The next thing he said, "Get up, let's begin to pray." Before I realized, 1 hour, 30 minutes, we had been praying. He didn't say hello. He didn't say, "How are you?" He doesn't care. He just began praying. He said, "This year, the Lord will bless the work of your hands." He started prophesying, speaking to me. I have lovely friends. Get a friend that can tell you when you are being stupid. Get a friend that can tell you when you are being silly. Don't choose friends who are just going to be, "Yes, please, yes, please." The fourth point. We must advance God's kingdom through service. Being born again is great. Coming to church is great. But when you come, build a habit of service. Serve in the house of the Lord. Serve in the house of the Lord. Give yourself unto service. Not just in the house of the Lord. Find something with ministry and do. Remember, the Lord has called you for His glory. The Lord has called you to walk for His glory. Serve. There are so many orphanages around. Serve. There are so many departments in the church. Serve. This year, God willing, we'll be going back to the Philippines for outreach. Serve. Find a way to serve. This year, say to yourself, I will not warm the pews. I will not come to church and go just like that. I will serve. And we are doing all things in line with faith. Because when we walk in faith, we begin to show works that glorify the Lord. So the book of James says, good works will accompany our faith. It's not just enough to say, I'm a Christian. Your works must show beyond your word. Your works must show beyond your word. And in Luke chapter 18, the Bible is so clear. When Jesus returns, will He find faith on earth? Will He find people on earth that are doing good works? If Jesus should come now, what kind of works will He find you doing? Remember, when you look left, when you look right, when you look forward, when you look backwards, don't forget to look up, where Jesus is always watching. And also don't forget to look down, where the fire is always burning. In that light, we are going to touch on the greatest challenge that as believers we are going to face, even as we desire to walk in the Spirit. And this challenge is laziness. Someone hit your chest and say, I will not be lazy. Hit your chest and say, this year, I will not be lazy. Amen. So biblically, it is referred to as slothfulness. How many of you know the animal, the sloth? It's very slow. One of my favorite characters in this movie, Zootopia, is the sloth. He's called Flash. He's very slow. Slothfulness is one description of laziness. Another word for laziness is also sluggishness. How many of you like reggae? There is this reggae song. Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard. Tell me where you get your bread each time, oh na na. Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard. Oh, tell me where you get your bread each time. Young man, you are always sleeping, not working. Where is your bread? The idea of sluggishness is someone who is giving off to rest. Even when there is work to do, they are sleeping. The house can be on fire, but still they will be what? They will be sleeping. Some of us, we sleep like we are dead. You can sleep the whole 24 hours. If they say sleep, you will sleep. It is good to rest, but don't do it too much. Some of you, you can sleep, but by the time you wake up, you are tired from sleeping. You sleep, and by the time you wake up, instead of feeling refreshed, your joints are hurting. It's good to rest, but don't be sluggish. Laziness is not just a habit, but a deep deficiency of character and a mindset that destroys our God-given potential to do great things for God. For God, and laziness causes us to settle for lesser than what God has intended for us. Laziness will cause you to settle for less. Turn to someone, tell the person, don't settle for less. Paul speaking to the Thessalonians, he said, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not." Christianity is against laziness. Christianity is not a lazy man's place. Work. "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness." You wake up the whole day. You are busy for nothing. You are so busy you can't join Bible study. But we ask you, what were you doing? But there's nothing to show. Every day walking about. Every day walking, but there is nothing to show. No productivity. Wasting time. "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies." A busy body is someone who has the pretense to be doing something good, but in actual sense, is not doing anything. May the Lord make your 2026 productive. May the Lord make the work of your hands flourish. And may the Lord give you an attitude for work. So what are the signs of a lazy person? So now even as I'm reading these signs, mark yourself. Mark your, someone say, "I will mark myself." The first sign, lazy people lack what? Lazy people lack commitment. And I wrote on my personal note, they won't even begin. Oh, I won't sign up for this work. If I sign up, it will be too much. They will not begin. Lazy people lack commitment. They might intend, but never commit. They have the intention to do it, but they just don't know how to commit to something. Lazy people cannot commit. A majority of the time, when they start something, they have the initial idea of doing it, but the commitment is not there. And which scripture can we read to highlight this? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. "How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." People who are lazy will always postpone their responsibilities until the opportunity passes. They always postpone. "I will do it tomorrow." They procrastinate. Your mother told you to go and do your laundry. Your mother told you to go and wash the dishes. Your mother told you to go and clean your room. I will do it tomorrow. I will do it next week. You know you have to submit the end of semester report. Oh, I will do it. I have one more week. Do not procrastinate. Do not procrastinate. Then I went on to write, "Whatever God has called you, start, begin, do not delay." And ask the Lord, pray for commitment. The second sign of a lazy person, lazy people lack the ability to complete. They lack the ability to what? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24. And I read, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his own mouth." Hey! He puts his hand that he's coming to eat, but he does not even bring it back to his mouth. That is the depth of laziness. People who are lazy cannot complete anything. They start, but they never finish. That is why sometimes the lazy people, they say, "This year, I will read the whole Bible." January, February, March. Lazy people lack the ability to complete. Thirdly, lazy people avoid confronting hard situations. Lazy people don't want mental work. They don't want anything that will challenge their mentality, their strength. They always want to be in their comfort. Tell someone, step out of your comfort zone. Tell someone, step out of your comfort zone. This year, desire to step out of your comfort zone. No, I didn't say that one. So I read Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. So he doesn't want to do any hard work, but yet he wants to go and eat. But yet, at harvest time, he gets there and there is nothing. Hard work, difficulty yields fruit. Give yourself. Step out of your comfort zone. Decide that I'm going to discomfort myself so that my family is blessed. I'm going to discomfort myself so that the kingdom of God will advance. And finally, lazy people are never content. Lazy people, one sign of a lazy person is greed. I was surprised when I read this. One sign of it. How is greed? Because normally greedy people always, but then I realized lazy people, instead of working and getting what they have, they would rather sit down and be jealous of what other people have worked for. And that is hardcore laziness. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. They always want, but they never get anything. This year, do not be lazy. This year, pray for strength to finish that which you have to finish. This year, step out of your comfort zone. This year, show commitment. Even as I conclude, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. In this year, let's run. In this year, let's be disciplined. In this year, let's have heaven as our ambition. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And even as we pray, we want to pray asking God for protection. Pray, ask the Lord for protection. Even as this morning I prayed into the service, that was the only prayer point that was in my heart. Pray for protection. Pray for protection. Pray. Tell the Lord, Father, in this year, protect me. Deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Pray.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.
Pray. Tell the Lord, Father, I need you. Father, protect me. Protect my family. Protect my children. Protect me, O Lord. Pray. Pray, somebody. Pray. Pray, somebody. Pray. Pray. Ask the Lord for help. Pray. Pray for your children. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Ask the Lord for protection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these ones gathered here today. I pray your blessings over them. I pray your goodness over them. Father, help them. Father, strengthen them. Let your grace abound over them. Let your goodness abound over them. Even as they move into this year, let your spirit flood their hearts. Let your spirit flood their minds. Let your spirit flood their homes. Father, I pray grace to walk in holiness. I pray that this year they will be fruitful and their fruit will remain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. May there be signs and wonders in your life. Let the goodness of the Lord overshadow you, and let his mercies submerge you. May his goodness elevate you, and may his glory pour out of you. I pray for you that in this year you will know the Holy Spirit, and he will be evident in your life. You are protected. Your household is protected. No evil shall befall you. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen.